Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Sitting on a bar stool, kind of short and kind of square, through the foam in his mustache, his voice filled the air. Talking about a state of mind, son. Talking about the state of Jefferson. It's a wave on a dusty road. It's a logger's heavy load. It's a cattle on the hill. It's a range full of thrills. It's a way of life. Settles in your soul.
It does. It settles in yourself. Settles.
Good morning, Jefferson. We're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Speak for yourself.
I am. I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. You're just old and cranky and just dragging your fat butt around, blah, 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 blah.
Good morning, man.
It's a beautiful Sunday morning.
It is.
It's a little breezy up here. I hope that kind of blows the smoke out and it blows the fires out. Not fans them, it blows them out.
Mm-hmm. This is Jefferson's State of Mind. I'm here with Wynn Carpenter, Richard Gallardo, who's going to be sitting in with us this morning. And how you doing, Richard?
I love coming in here. You want to know why?
Uh-oh. Why?
Because you guys allow me pants optional. Very liberating. Very liberating. Thank you.
Yeah, but when Sue comes in, you know, you got to cover up.
Oh, gosh. This is going to go south really quick. How you doing, Susie Q?
I'm great. Good morning. It's Travis and I.
All right. Oh, that's Travis. Hey, yeah, buddy. He's...
How can you not see me?
Well, the glare from the window over here.
It is.
It's got a glare.
Well, you need to sit taller
in your seat. This is as tall as I got.
Get the guy a phone book or something.
5'5", that's all I got.
It's all right, brother.
I'm 5'8", sorry.
That's okay. I'm not going to talk about size.
Let's go on. Okay.
Jefferson. Yeah. We'll go to a whole different subject there. Yes, we are broadcasting live from KCNR.
1460.
AM and 96.5 FM, where the music does sound better. If you have a question or a comment, call into 530-605-4567. 530-605-4567.
Amen.
Lots of interesting things going on, and if you didn't listen to Matt Nemo this morning, I would suggest you go back to the archive and listen to his show.
He did a great job.
He did a great job, yeah. And Matt really laid things out. I love to listen to him. He's very articulate, and he doesn't pull any punches, that's for sure.
No, he speaks the truth. He just says it how it is.
He did a great job this morning. So with that, Richard, how are you this morning? And you probably have a few things that you want to chit-chat about off the get-go. So I believe Mark Baird will be calling in here soon. But in the interim, what's on your mind, brother?
Well, I have a few things. But, hey, you know, I got my jury summons notice the other day.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
I think I know how to get out of it. Wayne already knows. He can see it in my eyes. I will not be wearing a mask. I do not wear a mask anywhere.
Yep.
You guys know the story of the Ace Hardware where the cops were called on me. Yes, I was not wearing a mask. So we'll see what happens on jury service day.
Yep. That's how it works.
Yeah. If anybody hasn't heard, this past Thursday, the district attorney was on with Carl Bott, 8 to 9. And, of course, the push against the health mandate for flus, for healthcare workers, flu shots, excuse me. And, of course, that was already started because the order had been released on, I believe, September 17th or so. And then if anybody saw Les Baugh's Facebook post, Les Baugh says, that order was released without review by the county attorney. That's not a little speed bump. That is a big speed bump right there. And then I called in. Go ahead, Wynn. You have a question?
You mean there's protocol and rules that they have to follow?
No, only us. Just the people.
Just the people.
And then so I put out on Facebook when I knew that the DA was going to be on Thursday morning. I put out to some healthcare folks. I said, hey, can somebody please call in and ask the DA a couple of questions about the order? Nobody did. So at 10 till the hour, it was almost up. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to call in since nobody else calls in. So I called in, and I gave a comment and a question to the DA. First comment was, well, I'm just curious, Ms. DA, you know, the health officer has general authority from a law to prevent the spread, infection, disease, all that stuff. It's a very general authority, And I'm just wondering how that, you know, how does that translate into a stomping on our constitutional rights, recognized rights, and our Bill of Rights? Well, she did not do a very good job answering that part, but I'll summarize it because you can go back and listen to it. She basically said, well, you know, it's a law, you know, one of those answers. Well, it's a law, right? So we have to follow it.
What does that mean?
It's a law, yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, it's a law. So I was very dissatisfied with that portion. However, the next part, I gave her a question. I says, well, my understanding is, so I read the order, and the second half of the order says it threatens criminal and civil actions against anybody that failed to follow the health care order. And I'm like, well, that's interesting, Ms. DA. So I'm pretty sure if the health office is going to refer any criminal or civil charges, they got to go through your office, Ms. District Attorney. And I want to know what you're going to do about it. And she said, well, in summary, she said, we have bigger fish to fry. And us, you know, the DA, the sheriff, police chiefs, we've already had this discussion. We are not going to enforce such things. So what happened an hour and a half later? That discussion was just before 9 a.m. So what happened just before at 10:45?
They rescinded it?
They rescinded the order. I would have loved to have been a fly on that wall when those phone calls were flying.
Actually, you know, I think there's a bigger picture here.
Yes.
And the bigger picture is, I'll trade you one shot for one mask. I'll say that again. I'll trade you one shot for one mask. We have to stop and think. That's what I'm so impressed about Matt Nemo's program.
What do you mean one shot?
Well, in other words, if you're in the medical field, you don't have to get the flu shot, but you have to wear a mask. So is that a trade-off? A trade-off on two things that are illegal? Trade-off on two things? See, this is what the left does, and I think Matt was talking about it this morning, and he's absolutely right. They push and they do some things. They divert a lot of stuff. And I think with a lot of people, maybe it's not wearing a mask. Maybe what they're wearing is a blindfold and earplugs. Mm-hmm. Because really and truly, when you look at the deeper picture here, I mean, this is a great victory that our healthcare professionals, and they are the healthcare professionals, don't have to get a shot, but that's a victory, and that they wear a mask. So two things that are illegal that they're being pressured to do. Now there's only one thing. Isn't that great? Is that a victory? I think the victory is walking in and saying, hey, we're done. You know, and it may take something a little stronger. Something else I wanted to talk about, too, that was on Matt's program. A lot of the people now that we've been dealing with, especially the last 4 or 5 months, especially with the state of Jefferson, are under the age of 35 years old. We have three new committees in El Dorado, and Placer is working with the older committee, but also the newer people in the committee that are heading it up, and in Nevada County. Those people are all under the age of 35. Young parents, all three of those couples in each one of those counties that are spearheading all this for Jefferson, have their own businesses. There's something else there, too. Maybe this COVID thing was a blessing in disguise in getting people to understand that their liberties really were taken.
Well, or the good coming out of
the good coming out of
garbage,
it.
Yeah.
Way to put that's
I
way
wouldn't
to put
say
it.
A blessing by any
yeah,
means.
Way to put
You know what else COVID did? It forced all of our government officials at all levels out of the closet.
Yes.
They are all out of the closet, and they had no choice in that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
They took a side, and now they're out of the closet.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Yep.
Well, yeah. Yep. Okay, but the thing is that you never know what goes on behind closed doors. Something else to the politician trick that's always been an interesting one.
But there should be nothing behind closed doors if they're politicians.
Well, there is.
They need to be out and up front.
But
what's going on?
But there is. But there is. Okay,
or
so
car
the,
parking lots or whatever.
Here's the deal. The deal is this isn't going to pass, so why don't you vote against it?
Yeah.
It'll keep you in good shape with your constituents. You can be the guiding light.
Yeah.
You can be the person who's the champion of the people. You just vote this way, and the rest of us will vote that way, and it'll go through anyway. But you can get your seat back again. And then the stuff that we do agree on, which will be 90%, we can all get together and make sure that
exactly.
We get stuff done. I mean, you know, we have to wake up politically on what's going on. The turnouts were great. I mean, the healthcare professionals that turned out in Red Bluff and in Redding, on Friday, it was great, and it was a great thing to do. However, bottom line is, we still don't have any liberty or freedom. Bottom line is, we traded a shot for a mask.
It's all part of the dance.
Yeah, shot for a mask.
We got to be careful of that. You can't just be dancing all the time.
And can I make one quick comment just on the tail end of the call with the district attorney and the results? I have to give I have to give 95% of the credit for the recension of the order to everybody that was involved, okay? I mean, I simply was detailing an event, but that event was part of a much larger picture. So reopened Shasta folks, kudos. The health care workers that showed up, kudos.
Yep.
We're all a team, so it's a very small victory for everybody.
It's all the sovereign citizens saying they've had absolutely enough, and we're moving forward.
Yeah, we just need to stand and push harder.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. We have to push a lot harder than that.
Yep.
Anyway,
we've got to go off to our first break.
We do, so time has come.
For 51.
Let's get her done.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Court Shopping Center, Reading.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
At Orchard Nutrition Center, we keep our produce pure by bathing our fruits and vegetables with water from our multi-stage purification system, leaving it fresh, clean, and crisp. Fresh from the farm to your family's table. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Court Shopping Center, Reading.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Back.
We are
back, and we just had an invasion. We had an invasion of a man who has started a movement, understands liberty. Kemosabe, Mark Baird. How are you, my good friend?
Every day is a new adventure. How are you guys doing?
He's wearing pants. This is the short side of the table.
He wouldn't do anything different.
I want to elaborate real quickly on this small, quote-unquote, victory we've had recently with the health order. Maybe too strong of a word, victory, but let's enjoy it. Let's savor it. Let's move on. Let's keep the fight on. Remember, evil does not take a day off. It never will. Our generation will not solve it. Our next generation probably will not either. So this is an eternal fight, folks. Eternal fight.
Amen. Got to keep up the fight.
Well, talking about the fight, we have Mark Baird here. There is a Second Amendment case. I'm sure that's what he wants to elaborate on. And it's been, when you came up with this case, Mark, and this thought came to you, you were really looking at the reality of the fact that a lot of people still believe that they have a Second Amendment right if they have a CCW and a permission slip, which, as we all know, we don't need that when it's a right. So I'm going to hand it over to you, my good friend, and take us home. But
well, there have been some developments in the case lately, and not the least of which is the oral arguments in Young versus Hawaii. And I don't know if everybody knows about that, but probably they do. But Young versus Hawaii was a case in Hawaii County where George Young, he did this for his daughter. He got out of the service and he went home and he said to his daughter, "I'm going to go get a permit to carry." And his daughter says, "You can't get one of those here, Dad." And she said, "Oh, sure I can. We have a Second Amendment." She said, "This is Hawaii. We don't have a Second Amendment in Hawaii." So George went and asked for a carry permit and he didn't get it. And then he went and asked for an open carry permit and he didn't get that either. And their question to him was, "Well, are you a cop or a security guard?" And he said, "No, I'm neither one of those things." He said, "Well, we don't give those out unless you're a cop or a security guard." So George sued him. Now, the only flaw in this case, in my opinion, was George just wanted to carry. He didn't care how it was. He didn't care whether it was open or concealed. He was okay with the permission slip, but he didn't receive one. So he won he lost at the state level, and then he won in trial court. He won in the Ninth Circuit Court, and then, of course, the state of Hawaii, as do all the communist states in the Ninth Circuit, they appealed for an in-bank review.
Of course.
And now an in-bank review is a funny thing because that's a vote by the majority of the judges, and they, in essence, throw out a three-judge panel's ruling, and they rehear the case, and then the original case is as if it never happened. Now, typically, in-bank rulings are more rare than Supreme Court certs. I mean, and you figure 4,000 cases a year go to the Supreme Court, and they hear 100 of them.
Right.
Well, in-bank reviews are typically more rare than that in federal circuit courts. It's just not done. But in California's Ninth Circuit and Hawaii's Ninth Circuit, it's done almost exclusively in the case of Second Amendment.
Wow.
And the in-bank almost always overturns the original ruling because the Ninth Circuit hates the Second Amendment, as does California, as does Hawaii, as does all the socialist states in the United States. They hate the Second Amendment because it gives you power. It gives you power to defend yourselves, and it gives you power to defend your communities. So George's in-bank was the other day, and I listened to the whole thing, and Alan Beck is his attorney, and Alan is a great man. He's a great thinker. He's not a superlative public speaker, unfortunately, but his thought process is impeccable. So, and quite frankly, I don't think that case will be ruled over the oral arguments. Oral arguments are typically so judges can pick at each other, and they'll,
yeah.
and they'll try to take apart an appellant right. or an appellee right. in order to stick their thumb in some other judge's eye and say, "There, I told you so. I told you the guy didn't know what he's talking about." But usually the ruling is made based on the documentation. And George's documentation is impeccable. It says that a right is not a permission and a permission isn't a right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And if you have to get permission, you don't have a right. And if you have a right, you don't have to get permission.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens with that. But it is a seminal case. And with the appointment of Amy Barrett to the Supreme Court, and if they accept cert on a Second Amendment case, which they haven't done in 12 years, then the liberals might be in trouble on this one, even if their puppet court in the Ninth Circuit does overturn the federal appellate court decision.
Mm-hmm.
So our case is a little bit different because in the Young case, they hung their hat on the fact that Hawaii has a long-standing prohibition on the open carry, or what the state now refers to as public carry, which could mean anything,
yeah.
Of weapons. And it goes back over 200 years. Well, how long has Hawaii been a state again? 1964?
Yeah.
So, yes, they did have a long-standing prohibition on the carry of weapons, most of which was under a monarchy where what the queen says goes, and
right.
they don't really care what anybody thinks. And the state also hung its hat on the Statute of Northumberland. They always trot that one out. And that says that you cannot ride about armed to officials.
Okay, when they came in as a state, mm-hmm. they were on the equal footing doctrine, weren't they? I mean,
well,
they were, but they didn't use it that way?
Yeah, let me finish this thought, and then we'll get right to that, because that's okay. important. So what the Statute of Northumberland says is, you will not ride about armed to cause affront. In other words, it doesn't say you can't ride about armed. It says you're not allowed to ride about armed
to cause
in them. Order to terrorize people.
Right, right.
And then the state of Hawaii also points out that in 30 states there were provisions against carry of weapons in order to cause affront. And those refer to surety bonds. In other words, if you were walking around Nashville waving your weapon in the air drunk, then you could be arrested by a constable or peace officer, and you would not be stripped of your right to carry the weapon. You would simply be made to go take out a surety bond and pay money for the bond that promises on pain of the forfeiture of those funds that you're not going to do anything stupid with your gun.
Right.
And all of the bans on open carry, quite frankly, were designed to keep black people from carrying weapons. I mean, that's the first gun control was designed to keep minorities from carrying weapons.
Right. Wow.
In California, open carry is largely unremarkable, largely unregulated for 160 years, and before that for another 150 years because the Spaniards didn't have anything against carrying weapons unless you were an Indian and you couldn't carry weapons.
Right.
Yeah. Mexicans had nothing against carrying weapons. There was no law about carrying weapons, concealed openly or otherwise, unless you were an Indian, then you couldn't carry weapons. In California, for 168 years, there was nothing wrong with carrying a weapon in any manner, form you chose, anywhere you wanted to, including into the state capitol building, unless you were an Indian. then they had a problem with it. Or a Mexican, then they had a problem with it. But otherwise, you could carry weapons anywhere you want.
Well, this Indian carries.
Then in 1860, or 1860-ish, I think it was 59 or something, the state passed a ban on concealed carry, which they repealed 7 years later when a lot of crime rates went up because the only people that followed the law were law-abiding citizens.
So they repealed the ban?
They repealed the ban on open carry seven years later.
Gotcha.
Now, in 1917, they instituted another concealed carry ban because they were afraid that Pancho Villa's guys were going to sneak across the border with guns in their pants and start murdering law-abiding citizens in Los Angeles County. So the Los Angeles County Sheriff was behind that one, but that one stuck. And then in 1968, of course, the Black Panthers had their demonstration.
At the Capitol,
At the Capitol, 19 or 20 guys, and no one was hurt. They were told to leave. They left. It was peaceful. They had their guns pointed in the air. You know, nobody even knows, I don't think, whether they were loaded. But they left peacefully. No one was harmed except the champion of liberty, Ronald Reagan, that champion of liberty, helped author the Mulford Act with the help of the National Rifle Association, and we lost the Second Amendment in California. So
because of one act.
That's correct.
Of one
where no one was harmed.
Where no one was harmed, that's and people correct. Were just voicing their opinion.
And the state is going to say in our case, well, that's a longstanding prohibition.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have that fight coming up.
But we have a longer standing option of being able to carry. So that would trump that prohibition.
Well, if there was judicial honesty
if the courts weren't corrupt,
If the courts weren't corrupt, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
That's right. That's right.
So that's another fight that we're in. But we're going to move for summary judgment. We refiled the complaint based on what the judge wanted us to do on the causes of action because she disallowed some of the causes of action. But the Second Amendment cause and the 14th Amendment cause stood.
Yeah.
So we're refiling the complaint and we're going to move for summary judgment.
Okay. Hey, cool. We need to stop right there so we can go to our break real quick?
No, we still have another minute. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay.
So in that case, the summary judgment means there is no evidence left to discover. There are no witnesses that need to be interviewed. Now, the state got real mad about that because the state's attorney says, well, we want to bring our expert in and we want witnesses and we want lots of people to say that open carry isn't good.
Yeah.
And our attorney said, well, it doesn't matter what you want. This is our case, first of all. We're moving for summary judgment. And second of all, the state has already admitted banning the Second Amendment. There is nothing left to discover. The state in its complaint has said that all authority as to who may carry has been given to sheriffs and police chiefs. So sheriffs and police chiefs have all total authority over who can carry in the state of California. And the way I read the Second Amendment, that's not a right, that's a privilege.
That's exactly right. And with that, we're going to go off to our break. And Mark, you're absolutely right. I want you to talk about that on the other side, too, because that's exactly what's happened. And people are still confused. I'm amazed. Thinking that concealed carry is a right. Well, I have a gun, right? Because I have a concealed carry. And I think people just aren't grasping what you just said as far as now the sheriffs have authority over our rights, over our God-given rights.
They do not.
Well, functionally they do.
Mm-mm. But now time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
Don't try and take my guns away. You'll wish you hadn't, you'll be sorry. The worst mistake you'll ever make. Don't try and take my guns away. You think today's your lucky day. Better think it through before it's too late. Listen close to what I say.
Ad paid for by Yes on 22. Save app-based jobs and services. A coalition of on-demand drivers and platforms, small businesses, public safety, and community organizations. Committee major funding from Lyft and Uber Technologies.
Times are tough. A pandemic. Historic unemployment.
So what do Sacramento politicians do? Pass a new law trying to make it illegal for rideshare and food delivery drivers to work as independent contractors.
Politicians are taking away drivers' right to work how they want, putting hundreds of thousands of drivers out of work, and threatening to shut down rideshare and delivery services.
At the worst possible time.
That's why we need Prop 22. Yes on 22 protects drivers' right to work as independent contractors, saving hundreds of thousands of jobs.
Yes on 22 is supported by the overwhelming majority of drivers by a 4-to-1 margin.
And by the California Small Business Association and the California Peace Officers Association.
They all urge you to vote yes on 22 to save app-based jobs and services.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
In my closet, made in 1893, and carved right on the barrel, says Winchester Company. It's been passed through generations. I've been taught to use it well. It's put food there on the table.
Okay.
Never meant for sale.
We're gonna get right back into this. We're here with Richard Gallardo and Mark Baird, and Mark is talking about his court case. Baird versus Becerra,
and
Richard is a plaintiff on the case, yep. Also with Mark. So, Mark, you were talking about the power of our Second Amendment being controlled by the sheriffs.
Well, I think Richard had something to say that's kind of germane to the next part of what I have to say about one of your supervisors.
About Modi, Go for it, brother. Go for it.
So one of the recent board meetings, one of the CRPA chapter members, Gary, was up front talking to the board, imploring them to pass the Second Amendment resolution we had submitted in mid-late July. And in summary, Modi said back to Gary, well, you don't really need this resolution because you have the Second Amendment. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's how that goes. And look, what we're saying is that the Second Amendment is not a right granted by government. Mm-hmm. The Second Amendment, and here's Cato's letters from 1721 just to prove this. This right is pre-constitutional. It's pre-governmental. It's pre-societal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everyone has the means. Every creature on earth has the means to defend themselves. Human beings are the only ones that don't have big teeth and claws and can't run 40 miles an hour and don't weigh 500 pounds. I mean, even a wolverine has huge claws and big teeth and is absolutely fearless in the attack. But human beings invented tools to defend themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in Cato's letters, it said, two great laws of human society from whence all the rest derive their course and obligation are those of equity and self-preservation. By the first, all men are bound alike not to hurt one another. And by the second, all men have a right alike to defend themselves. William Blackstone called it the absolute right of self-defense, the pre-societal right, the pre-governmental right, and the only place, like the state of California says in the Statute of Northumberland from 1367 or whatever it is, and that was just the dictate of a paranoid king, a tyrannical, dictatorial, paranoid king. And as I remember,
Modi,
on April the 19th, 1775, we proved the Second Amendment, and we vindicated that right when 70 men walked outside their house with long guns and short guns and edged weapons and weapons of every description, and they stood in the park with the green, and they waited for their own government to come and try to kill them. And if you don't think that can happen again, you are a fool.
Right.
You know, I wanted to bring something else up to you, Mark, and this is such a good point. We have all these different small fights that we're fighting. The real fight is we've lost our liberty. And the real answer to that, we believe, is apportionment and the Second Amendment. And, of course, once we get these people elected, to make sure that they're beholden to us, they're accountable, and that they have an apportionment that they can actually do their job and represent us. And, Mark, you know, at this point in time, how far do we really need to push it?
Well, I don't know. How much do you care about your freedom and your liberty?
I don't know
how far. I don't know how far we need to push it. I know how far I need to push it.
How far is that?
Well,
that's an individual choice.
As far as it can possibly be pushed, and I'll leave that up to the imagination of the listener. It just, to me, there are some fundamental questions here. Mm-hmm. Do you value the gifts that your God gave you? Because in our Constitution, and whether you're religious or not, or whether you're Christian or not, or a Jew or a Muslim, it doesn't matter to me. But the point is, we were endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments were instituted among men, deriving all of their just power from the consent of the governed. And whenever government fails to serve these ends, it is our right and our responsibility to alter or reform that government, however we see fit. So if you value the gifts that your Creator gave you in the Declaration of Independence, because remember, that is our founding document, not the Constitution.
Right.
The Bill of Rights was established in the Constitution because the anti-federalists felt the Constitution wouldn't protect the pre-governmental human rights of all the individuals and citizens of the United States. And so the Bill of Rights was put in there in order to show that certain rights were above government's policy table. Mm-hmm. Well, the courts have constructed a tripartite, two-step balanced interest deal to where whenever the state whines, they take one of your rights away. And the Constitution is not set in stone or concrete as the founders envisioned. It's now a living document. Well, let's ask ourselves, which part of it is living?
Right.
Is it the part where the president serves 4 years? Is it the part where representatives serve for 2 years or senators serve for four? Which part is living? Well, I can tell you which part. No one complains about anything that government wants to do except that part where you get something, and that's the Bill of Rights. That's the only living part of the document that I can think of. No one ever challenges any of the other parts. But the enumerated rights are the parts where government develops their tripartite, two-step interest balancing. And what that means is government asks the court to say whether it is more important for you to enjoy a God-given pre-governmental right or whether it's more important for the state to take that right from you.
Yeah, you know, and it's self-evident. Self-evident needs no proof.
That's right.
And I think that, and I'm glad you said that, Mark. The thing is that we need to be standing together, and we do need to push harder, but we have to head down the road together.
Now, what about, too, you mentioned a moment ago, when it's our responsibility to change the government as we see fit if it's not working for us. Now, whose rules do we use to make those changes? Do we use the governmental rules, or do we use the people's rules to make those changes? Because if we're going to go in and make a change with our government officials, do we use the government's rules and processes and protocols to make those changes, or do we use other means? How do we do that?
The Constitution gives us the answer to that, and the Declaration of Independence gives us the answer to that. I mean, in the Declaration of Independence, it said we should long suffer these injustices because it is more right morally and in God's eyes to suffer injustice than it is to cause bloodshed. So now the open question is, how long do you suffer and how much? I mean, it's brick after brick after brick. You have no money. You have no liberty. You have no business. You have no right. You have no say. Free speech is hate speech. God is an enemy. It's okay to murder unborn children. Your children are to be taught the joys of the transgender and gay lifestyle in elementary school.
Oh, man.
That's not an answer I can give you. Yeah. It's an answer you have to give.
Right.
And we need hundreds of thousands of people to give the same answer or we're going to lose. That's just the long and short of it.
Richard, you had something you wanted to add.
And recognize, getting back to Wynn, about government rules. Okay, they're changing the rules on us all the time on us, folks. Maybe another month and a half, maybe we can cover some of the voting laws that are have already passed and are still pending to be passed. They're changing the rules on us all the time to make recalls more difficult, voting more difficult. So this is the example for Wynn here. That's, the voting laws. That's how they're making it harder for us to change government.
Well, you know, the thing is, too, is that as we were talking about at the beginning of the program, you know, there's two illegal things here. If you're in the medical field, you needed to get a shot, but we'll trade you a shot for a mask. And again, we keep going through all these different things to where they're important, but the bottom line is we've lost our liberty. The bottom line is we all need to stand, and we all need to stand together.
So then the medical professionals can – all they need to do is give it a slam dunk. You can keep your shot, and you can keep your mask. I'm not going to take either one.
Well, when we had Carlos Zapata on with Becca, his wife, who's been a nurse for 19 years, that's the way she feels about it.
Absolutely, and she's not alone.
And Dr. Danuka feels that way about it. So – you know, the thing we need to do is we need to start standing and pushing. And Mark's right. We do need to get people that are going to stand and push back and say, no, we will not comply.
Right.
The only way to get that apportionment, the only way to keep our Second Amendment, and the only way to have a situation where we can get these guys to adhere when we elect them to what it is we want them to do is to have an apportion rate to where they can do their job, number one, have them accountable, number two.
Absolutely.
And the only way we can do that, folks, is to split the state. It's the only way we can do it. It's the only answer we have. And, Mark, I don't know if you know this or not, but we have three new committees, actually sort of working with the old ones. And the leaders are each, there's couples in Nevada County, Placer County, and El Dorado County. And they're in their mid-30s, they're business owners, moms and dads, and patriots. And that's very encouraging to see that. They understand that the answer to this is state split because there is no other answer to it that I can see.
Well, Daniel Webster said that God grants liberty only to those who are ready to guard it and defend it. I don't need to say any more than that. And
that's
like
right.
I said, we need hundreds of thousands of people that are willing to get off the couch, seriously, get off the couch, mm-hmm. go to Sacramento with us and do something about this. And if we don't have that, then we will just continue to degrade this society until finally it is the rule of the mob and there will be nothing left here worth living for.
Earlier this morning when Matt did his program, he was talking about the police state and talking about pushing back. And he was talking about the situation we have now to where we've got people that just get diverted into a lot of different things. We get diverted into all these different things that the left throws at us. It's just like Richard just got through saying, every time you turn around, they're throwing a new law at us. They're throwing a new policy at us. They're throwing a new regulation at us. At what point do we finally just say no?
Well, it's Alice's rabbit hole to me. I mean, there are 10,000 diversions in this thing, but the real diversion is you have no liberty. And you have no liberty because you've allowed it. And we, and I'm not saying you personally, I'm saying we as collectively have allowed that. You don't get the government you deserve, you get the government you allow. Mm-hmm. We've allowed the socialists to have a mono-party, single-state socialist society here where your gasoline car is going to be outlawed in 2035 yeah. and hydroelectric power is not considered a renewable resource. Only the big money scam of wind and solar, the bird Cuisinarts and the things that blind pilots as they fly overhead and Governor Nuisance and his Aunt Nancy are firmly in charge, and you will pay and you will pay and you will pay until you finally have nothing left to pay with. And that's a choice, as far as I can see.
That's a scary thought.
It's a decision that people make personally, and I don't know what to tell them.
One of our local barbers, which we all know, he says this perfectly. He says, I don't need government permission to earn a living for my family.
And he's right.
Wish everybody would take on that mantra.
Well, you have people that, again, I mean, they're sheep. I mean, how many people do you see walking around outside with masks on? I mean, and I know that that's not a, but it just is. I mean, the Arabs have done that
like
for
it.
Years.
I like it when they're alone in their car with a mask on.
Yeah,
that's
and gloves.
Good. Yeah, and gloves, right.
Yeah. Especially the gloves.
Because our filtered air conditioner, isn't doing the job.
Unbelievable.
That'll do a better job than that mask will.
Well, you look at the box of masks, and the manufacturer says they don't work.
Yeah, and they're from China.
But
I think we will go off to our last break here,
and
then we'll take care of that, and then we'll come back with Richard Gallardo and Mark Beard. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.
I've got to run to keep running. is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
In the hills of Northern California, we believe America is the home of the brave. What we got is earned by working, it ain't handed out for free. We stand for the flag and pledge our allegiance, we're the last of a dying breed. Last of a dying breed.
Yes, the last of a dying breed.
Amen.
And let's hope not. We're here with Mark Baird and Richard Gallardo. And Mark, you were going to elaborate a little more on the court case and some things that you're looking at in moving forward with it.
Well, we're going to move for summary judgment, which means no witnesses, nothing left to discover. The state's attorney objected to that. He says, well, you know, our regular process in this office is we always have full trials and... our attorney said back to him, well, we don't care because this is our case, not yours, and we don't care what your process is, and we don't care what your procedure is. We're bringing this case, and we're going to do what we think is best. And so what we're saying is there's nothing, and he complained again, well, we want to bring expert witnesses, and our experts will say this and that. And she said, well, we don't care about that either because here's the deal. It doesn't matter what your experts say. It doesn't even matter what our experts say because you've already admitted in your brief that you have given all authority to sheriffs and police chiefs over who may, and conversely, who may not carry in the state of California, and that is not a right, it is a permission, and the Second Amendment declares that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. You have banned the Second Amendment in California, you said so yourself, and if there's any judicial intellect and honesty, then those statutes, 25850, 26400, and 26350, will be stricken from the record. And at the very least, sheriffs and police chiefs will be forced on a shall issue basis to give anyone who is not prohibited from owning a handgun the right to carry openly in any county in California without fear of or risk of prosecution. That's the minimum. The maximum that we would hope for is strike those statutes as unconstitutional, and we'll have constitutional carry in California because, remember, concealed carry is not a right. It is a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving for summary judgment based on the documentation. We don't expect Judge Mueller to give us anything because she's a liar and a Democratic operative, and she will lie, cheat, and steal in order to prevent your Statue of Liberty, but it will take us to the appellate court, and we're hoping to find a plaintiff in San Diego so that we can apply to the appellate court in front of Judge, gosh, I just lost his name.
Oh, yeah, the one just appointed.
Benitez, yeah, in the Southern District. Yep. And so what we'd like to do is have Judge Benitez rule on our preliminary injunction and then go to a three-judge panel with a preliminary injunction in place, and hopefully on the coattails of Young versus Hawaii, we'll get some kind of action here.
Now, why do you have to go judge shopping? Can't you go judge shopping? And if you find a judge that you know that you can work with, why can't you go to their courthouse, their courtroom, and file your complaint? You're a sovereign citizen of California. You should be able to use any judge in this entire state.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't. That's why. Because the federal government has the game rigged to make sure that you don't find any liberty within the court system.
Those SOBs.
Yeah, it's just par for the course. It's what we've allowed to happen. Yep, I mean, since this interest balancing thing is not in the Constitution. And since when does the executive branch have the power to tell the judicial branch right. how they're going to behave, like Newsom did when he ordered the courts not to subpoena people who haven't paid their rent for eviction? Ordered the courts not to follow through on those cases. Well, on what planet does the executive have the authority over the judicial and the legislative? Well, I know, in the monarchy of England, where every court was corrupt because the judge knew who signed his paycheck.
That's exactly what
we have in California.
It always comes back to the paycheck.
And the answer to this is liberty. And the answer to liberty is our own state, because otherwise we're going to be diving down Alice's rabbit hole over a gas tax and a pollution tax and an electric car tax and transgender gay lifestyle for our children's and murdering unborn and every darn thing that comes up. And there are 5,000 on the horizon, the masks, the shots, I don't care what it is. All of that stuff is coming. And we're going to keep diving down every rabbit hole there is until we finally figure out that this is a diversion. All of it's a diversion.
It is.
We don't have representation, and therefore we don't have any liberty, and that's really what's going on
here. All the smoke and mirrors, because with a new sovereign state where it's run by and followed by the Constitution, the federal Constitution and the Constitution of that said state, none of this stuff would be allowed and none of it would happen.
And violation of the Constitution by elected officials would be a crime.
Absolutely. And they will be held accountable.
And it will not be a living document. It'll be a document just like the one we have now. Oh, funny, it's printed in words and you can look the words up in the dictionary. So unless dictionary definitions are changing every 5 hours, it is not a living document, and I can prove that.
That's
correct. And we come full circle to the first comments that were made on this program this morning. And that is that we have 8,000 different things going on, but the real deal is we've lost our liberty.
The real deal
is we need to get it. The only way you can do that is with adequate apportionment.
Yep.
And you can't do that unless you split the state.
That's right.
That's where we started. And we started off with the trade for the mask, for the shot.
Yep.
You know, what's next? A mandatory vaccine? Oh, wait, it's a vaccine for something that mutates, like a cold. Well, if it mutates, that means you need to get a new vaccine. Or if you don't get a vaccine and you aren't getting this vaccine for COVID, you can't shop, you can't buy anything, you can't do anything. Your freedom's completely taken.
So what you're saying is the mark is your vaccination.
The mark
point, right?
is your vaccination.
If you don't have the mark, then you can't buy and sell and trade.
Yeah. Where did they do that before? Nazi Germany, I would say.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, because even though the Bible is 4,000 years old, 5,000 years old, the beginning of it, 6,000 maybe, you know, the stuff in there was pretty right on.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it'll be Proposition 666.
Mm-hmm.
So getting back to the whole immunization thing that Terry was just talking about, there's a pending bill, Assembly Bill 875 in California. It's called the School COVID-19 Program. I wonder what they're going to be doing when this bill passes and goes into effect for all of our public schools in California. It's right in the title, folks.
Yeah.
Good.
By gosh, by golly, we have prophecy here.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, that's the deal. And the thing is okay, if you want your kids, it's going to be, I guess, if your kids are going to go to school, but then it'll be if you want to shop, et cetera. I mean, we have to draw the line here. We've got to draw the line. Enough of this silliness. We have to draw the line.
Well, the problem is we don't have to draw the line. We don't have to do anything. All we have to do is suck it up and take it. But if
no,
you,
thank you.
But
no,
if you want
you.
Something to change, then you'd better learn how to draw a line.
That's right. That's right. And get
Colonel,
involved.
Colonel Travis was right in the Alamo. He didn't say who will cross this line. He drew the line and he said, "Who will stand with me?"
There you go.
And there were guys. There was a guy that crossed the line and nothing happened to him. He walked away scot-free, didn't get killed, lived to be an old age. He was fine with it, I guess. I imagine his conscience probably bothered him significantly over the ensuing years. But the point is, all of the men that stood with Colonel Travis knew they were going to die. They knew it.
Yep.
Within 48 hours, they were all going to be dead, with very, very few exceptions of a few girls and kids. And they stood anyway because liberty is important. And it was purchased with the blood of your forefathers. Are you going to be the one that squanders that gift? Are you going to be the one that when you see them again in whatever afterlife you imagine, I know what mine is, but I don't know what yours is, are you going to apologize to each and every one of them for squandering the gift that they paid for with their lives? I don't want to be that person.
No way, Jose. Nope.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, as we look at the past, it certainly tells the story of the future. And I think what we have to understand right now is that time is of the essence. We can go down 8,000 different roads doing 8,000 different things, but the real deal is we need to regain our liberty. And this is not a revolution. This is not a revolution. We are restoring our rights. It's a restoration.
Restoration.
We already have rights from God. We have the Constitution, which is the line in the sand to protect those rights.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, folks, in a restoration for the United States of America, and it's starting right here in Jefferson. And that's the real deal, and that's the bottom line. And Mark has said it 100 times, 100,000 times to 100,000 people, and he's absolutely right. If you got a better idea, let's hear it.
Yeah, amen.
Okay? I mean, we've had other people come up with stuff, and I'll just say this really quickly, like New California. I asked their leadership, well, what's your apportionment rate? They even know what the word apportionment meant.
So how do they know? They don't.
I mean, so I think as we move ahead here, Mark, Richard, we've got like 4 minutes left. Richard, do you want to take a minute here and we'll...
Well, I'll go off on a very slight tangent, but you guys know how I follow the laws and I try to keep us all apprised of pending and past laws. So I'll give you one more for the day. Excuse me. Senate Bill 162, still pending, establishes a pulmonary hypertension task force in California. Pulmonary meaning lungs. Hypertension meaning blood pressure. What happens when you wear masks for long durations, for extended periods of time? Mm-hmm. Ask a nurse. Starts to affect your pulmonary system and your heart.
Yep.
And they established a task force back in July.
Mm.
Gee, I wonder where they're going to go with that one. Just curious.
That kind of makes the trade even worse, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Mark, you've got a minute and a half, brother. Shoot away.
We have a choice here. Daniel Webster also said, "Hold on to the Constitution with all your strength, my friends, and to the Republic for which it stands. For miracles do not tend to cluster, and what's happened once in 6,000 years, not likely to happen again." Daniel was right. They don't follow the rules. They don't follow the Constitution of the United States. They don't even follow the Constitution of California, and I bet you a buck that none of them's ever read either one of them. I know the governor's never read the Constitution of California, even though he took an oath, which, by the way, is in Article 20, miscellaneous, and he swore or affirmed to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of California against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And Abraham Lincoln said that no enemy, no army of Europe, even with Napoleon as its commander, would be strong enough to leave a track on the Blue Ridge Mountains or drink from the Ohio River. That if we are to fail, if we are to destroy ourselves, we must be the authors of our own destruction. In other words, it's going to be internal suicide.
That's right.
Well, look around you. Look at Portland, look at Seattle, Cincinnati, all the lies being told about all of these riots and their largely peaceful demonstration. Look at the Fourth Estate, the news, to see what side they're on. By and large, even Fox News is going left because it was purchased by a lefty organization, Walt Disney, which is a godless, atheistic organization, and they're trending to the left as well. You're it, folks. We are the only author of our own defense, as Lincoln stated. And he talked about people who gave their last full measure in the cause of liberty. And we're it. There is no one that's going to come and save us, not anyone, not ever. Not from anywhere else. If you want to know whose fault all this is, go in the bathroom and look in the mirror. And if you want to know who's going to change this, go back in the bathroom and look in the mirror again.
All right.
So That's all I have to say. Liberty now, liberty forever, because without liberty, you're not going to be allowed to keep the money or the property.
Amen.
Mark, Richard, amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you
guys are amazing. Time has come.
For 51.
Let's get it done.